the dirt was so thick that we eventually came to a stop behind a semi truck that had its hazards on. And my husband was just like, I don't feel comfortable behind this semi. I need to move the car. And so he moved to the shoulder. And no sooner after, a semi truck going 75 miles an hour came from behind us and slammed into the truck that we were just sitting behind. The cab of his truck exploded and he passed away. But during all of this commotion, I kept seeing Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And I just broke down in tears because God literally just saved me and my husband and our three children from a horrific car accident. And I'm reading that God has plans for me and a purpose.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Strong by Design podcast. So happy to have you. Always fun recording a new episode here when I get the opportunity. As you know, if you've been listening to Strong by Design over the years, we take turns. We have some different hosts of the show. I'm Chris Wilson. We have Jared Haley. We have Tanya Fines and the great Mike Westerdahl, the founder of Critical Bench, who also does some episodes. So we like to share the load a little bit, and sometimes we like to just do podcasts amongst ourselves with more of an internal conversation here. But with Strong by Design, we do a lot of interviews, a lot of interview-based conversations. If you're new to listening to our podcast, most of what you'll hear are interview style, and we get to go deep on various topics with our fantastic guests, men and women, all walks of life, who really help us here at Critical Bench really grow and learn and find out some fascinating things and get to share those conversations with all of you great listeners. If you're a longtime listener of the show, we welcome you back. We thank you so much for your support. And if you haven't already, please hit 5 stars, leave us a review on whatever platform you're consuming this podcast. We greatly appreciate that, and we love to hear from our listeners what we can do better, what you would like to hear more of, maybe a past episode or a guest that really touched you or moved you in some way. So we would love to hear from you however you can do that, whether it's on social media or directly through the podcast platform you're listening. So we thank you in advance for that. So we have a special guest today. She is a sister of some pretty famous people that you are no doubt familiar with. In fact, her slightly older brother was on our show several months ago, Mr. Kirk Cameron. And our guest today, our very special guest, is Bridget Cameron. And it's Ridenour, correct?
Yeah.
Is how you pronounce your last name? I didn't want to mess that one up, but I'm pretty sure I got
close
it right.
I'll give you credit for it.
Okay, I'll take partial credit. She's the proud mom of 4 kids. She's a wife. She's a best-selling author and speaker. She actually worked for 20 years as a stand-in in Hollywood alongside some of Hollywood's most well-known famous child actors and stars. And today's conversation is really going to dive deep into her journey, which led to the writing of her book, Overlooked. And I'm really anxious to find out more about Bridget and what it was like to go through life with some pretty high-level siblings who were, you know, very well-known. Of course, I grew up, I'm dating myself here, but I grew up mostly in the 80s. I mean, that's when I was 5 to 15 years old. So I was a huge Growing Pains fan growing up and have followed Kirk's life quite a bit over the years with all the movies and things that he's been doing in the world. And of course, everybody knows her younger sister, Candace, who's been on Full House, and then the 2.0 version of Full House that I think is still going. I don't follow network television as much as I used to, but so Bridget, being the big sister in the family, sometimes was probably a little bit, I don't know, I'm sure came with a lot of challenges. I don't know what that must be like. I'm sure our audience would be curious. What was life like with kind of being in the background, if you will, to your siblings kind of getting a lot of attention?
Yeah, well, Chris, first of all, thanks for having me today. I'm happy to be here and share my story. But yeah, I mean, if you have siblings, if your listeners have siblings, our household on the inside was a total normal family, brothers and sisters and chores and fighting and arguing and homework and all of that. But then on the outside, yeah, it was kind of crazy. Two of my siblings were famous. Sometimes we couldn't really go to like an amusement park or dinner or something without someone coming up recognizing them and asking for autographs and things like that. But one of the things I love most about my parents was that they always kept us together as a family, the four of us kids. We do have a sister, Melissa, in between Candace and I. So there is four of us, and my mom and dad always tried to include Melissa and I in those public appearances with Kirk and Candace. If she could take the first class tickets and turn it into coach so we could all go, my mom would do that so we could all go as a family. I mean, I say that one day we could be walking the red carpet at the Golden Globes and literally like the next night my family's watching me in like an elementary school play or something. It's just what we did. It's just how our family worked. And so, yeah, I mean, it was kind of weird and crazy and exciting and scary outside of those walls. But inside it was, we were just a normal family with all the stuff that goes on with
that. Yeah, I think people, they forget that it's kind of like, you know, when you're a kid and we've all been there, when you're a kid and you bump into your school teacher, like at the grocery store. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, you go grocery shopping too? It's like, yeah, I'm like a regular person. Yeah. I do regular things. It's your family was a family. You had four children and parents and yeah. You were siblings who yelled at each other and played with each other and, you know, and did family things together.
I mean, Kirk was, my gosh, Kirk was just a typical older brother, like just, you know, teasing and tormenting and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, it was all of that. So,
wow.
Different.
Yeah. Right. And so you're, at this time, you know, obviously you're all, I mean, I see fairly close in age. What's the age gap from Kirk, the oldest, who's only less than a year older than you, to your youngest sister, Candace?
Well, there's Melissa is the middle. So between Melissa and Candace and I, there's 2 years and 4 years. So, and then Kirk and I are 11 months apart. Well, my mom was crazy. Sometimes I always say, Mom, what were you thinking? But then I'm like, Dad, what were you thinking?
You thinking, I know.
So, but it was great. It was so great. Kirk and I are very, very close. Just, you know, in our sibling relationship, and Melissa and Candace are very close as well. But yeah, we all, you know, just grew up very close in age, and all of our cousins. And I mean, that's a whole nother podcast story is all of our cousins. My mom's sister, now if you can like visualize this and have your listeners kind of visualize this, my mom's sister married my dad's brother.
From oh my
two
goodness
sisters
gracious.
Marrying two brothers. So we have first cousins that have the same bloodline and all the same grandparents and everything. So it was just like crazy. And we grew up with lots of cousins and aunts and uncles and all of that. So it was a fun childhood. It really was.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. And yeah, that's a fairly big family, feel to your gatherings, I would suggest.
And we're here for everything. Yeah. It was like, gosh, just our immediate family. There's, you know, 75-100 people. Just that's not including, you know, friends that we want to have over. That's just aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, all of that. So,
right. Right. You know, wow. Yeah, I can understand how that would kind of probably bring everybody back to reality on some level, too, where obviously ego and that celebrity kind of status would it's going to kick in for most people. I would say that's probably hard to avoid. But when you're surrounded by a lot of family, they still see you as family. Yeah. They don't necessarily see you as the person on the magazine cover or on the TV show. They know you as a intimate family member, and so it's I would guess that probably brought your brother and sister back to kind of a normal feel rather than kind of. I don't know. People can really get carried away with themselves, can't they? If they really feel like they're...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like I mentioned earlier, I mean, Kirk had chores. Candace had chores. You know, we had homework and they had their... Melissa and I had, you know, our homework. Kirk and Candace did their homework on the set. But inside that household, we were a normal family. So Kirk got in trouble for teasing us and doing all that. So, you know... And sister's fought, and we share, you know, I shouldn't say we shared clothes. We took each other's clothes and things like that. So, you know, just a normal.
I did the same thing. Yeah, I would sneak into my brother's closets. My brothers are 5 years older than I, and I would take their clothes and wear them secretly. Yeah. And then they would find out, you know, and be a little bit angry about that. Yep. wear their favorite shirts. Yep.
Exactly. That's just how it was.
So what was the... And I got into this, Jared and I, when we spoke with Kirk, and when he was 17, 18 years old, and he had a massive shift in his life as he was kind of really already very well known at that point on a hit TV show, but he started to grow in his faith. And what were you, being so close in age with him, what was your walk like in those childhood or teen years? Around that same time as Kirk, when you were in your 17 to 20 age range, were you also going through kind of a faith journey at that point, or were you kind of distant from any kind of connection there spiritually?
Well, I think at that point, yes, I think my spiritual journey had just started. A lot of people, when they see the Cameron family or they've heard of the Cameron family, pretty much most people will think, oh yeah, they grew up in a Christian home. Like that's just, you know, that's just what they've done. And actually that is the complete opposite of what our childhood was like. We did not have any faith in our home. We were put in that CEO category of going to church Christmas and Easter only. And that's really what it was. And my dad's parents were atheists. He never grew up with any kind of faith. He didn't want it in our home. My mom knew Christ as a little girl. But again, Christmas and Easter only. And so it wasn't something that, you know, really, it was never talked about. And it, like you were saying, Kirk he had gone to church with a girl that he was dating. And this was at the top of his career. And he heard the gospel for the very first time. And the pastor said, if you were to die today, would you be going to heaven and hell? And that really struck Kirk. And so he really started thinking, like, gosh, all these wonderful things that I'm doing with all these amazing charities and gifts and things like that. That's great. But from what I heard from the pastor today is that's not going to get me into heaven. And so I remember him saying he was driving home that day and he pulled over because God was just stirring in him. And he pulled over the side of the freeway and went into a parking lot and just prayed the most real and raw prayer that he could think of. He'd never prayed before, but he asked Jesus into his heart. And, you know, admitted he was a sinner and all of these things. And for us as a family, it wasn't like he came home and said, guess what? Guess what I did? Yeah. Like, well, no, it wasn't like that. Because we would be like, okay, Kirk, like, you're nuts. Like, you know, so it was just one of those gradual things where it's like, you know, you plant the seeds with the way that you talk about it or the way that you share it and things like that. And that's what I was kind of saying. We all were seeing it with Kirk. But I was noticing something. His attitude was different. You know, being an older brother, he was nicer to us girls. And then it was when his character on Growing Pains really started changing. And that's when I was like, okay, something is different here. And with Kirk and I being so close in age, I really respected everything that he would talk to me about, that he would teach me. I really wanted to listen. And if Kirk was learning about it, that I knew it had to be something pretty special and pretty good, because Kirk's not one to just jump into something like, oh, hey, I'll try this or try that. He really dives in and learns whatever he wants to know about. So I just, you know, was watching him, and then it was at a church worship concert, gosh, back in the 80s, 90s. And, you know, I was just overcome with emotion and just feeling God stirring in me. And I was just crying. And the pastor there, you know, gave the altar call if anybody wanted to come up. And Kirk saw me just, you know, hysterically crying. And he said, Bridge, do you want to go up there? And I said, yeah, I think I do. And again, I really didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that I was asking Jesus into my heart, and that I was going to start feeling the way that Kirk was feeling about this, and I can learn more and all that. And so that's kind of when my spiritual journey started. And then it slowly kind of trickled down into our other sisters and then my mom. My dad took a long time. He was a school teacher for like 35 years. So my dad has to like ask questions, find out the answers. He's not.
He wants facts.
And he is going to really dig down deep for those facts. And so it took him quite a while. And during this time, our parents were actually separated. They separated for a year when Kirk and I were seniors in high school. And we really didn't know at that time if they were going to divorce. And we were just one of those families where it was like, okay, not Robert and Barbara. Like, there's no way Kirk and Bridget and Melissa's parents are going to divorce. But it was, you know, it was going through those motions, even though we didn't know for sure. But we all kind of just, we started going to church, started going to youth groups. My dad, again, was going to church and asking a lot of questions. And my parents stayed together. They've been married now 55 years this June. And my dad is a Christian now. My brother baptized him on a men's retreat. So, you know, it's just amazing the plan that God has for all of us, and you know, for a family that never knew who Christ was, now going out and sharing the gospel and the ministries that we're doing is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think so many people, like, people have a longing and something within them where they're seeking and they're searching for something to fill the gaps.
Yeah.
And the questions that they have about our life, our existence, why are we here? All the big questions that we've had since we were little. When you're a little kid, you ask a lot of these why questions, and I think a lot of adults grow up with these why questions. And I feel like it's a God-sized hole that can't be filled by anything else other than God.
Amen.
And it takes, and everybody, I think, has these realizations at different points in their life. Some people from very young, you know, come to know the Jesus, come to know the God, and some take much, much longer, like your father. And that's okay. It's kind of like everyone's journey doesn't have to be the same. And if it was, well, that would be boring. Yeah. Right? If everyone's path to know God was the same, then you know, there's nothing worth talking about. We all have the same story to tell, but we all have different stories, and your story is unique as well. Tell us a little bit more about, you had, obviously at some point you had an event occur that was very life-changing. Can you share a little bit more about that, and that's helped with the leading to this book, right? That you wrote. It was one of the main things that you discussed in your book. I'd be curious, without giving your whole book away, but of course I think our audience will be more encouraged to probably go grab a copy of your book, and we'll tell them where to go do that. But tell us more about your journey yourself and those moments that led to maybe a closer relationship with God.
Yeah, well, it really kind of started just when I was a little girl. The day that my mom finally agreed to take us all into a Hollywood agent, all of my siblings were chosen and I wasn't. And it was very heartbreaking for my mom because I was really the reason why my mom finally agreed. I was in all the school plays. I was in all the recitals, not Kirk, not Candace, not Melissa. It was me. And so my mom was like, okay, if any of the kids were to get on TV and do this, it would be Bridget. And I didn't get chosen that day. But again, as I had told you earlier, my mom and dad were so great at keeping us as a family and taking us to different things and the recitals and the plays that I were in. Everybody was there watching me. So growing up, there was some jealousy there, obviously. And I kept thinking, how come I wasn't chosen that day? You know, and then it just kind of led into, I had a very long ordeal with braces. And the agent said, we'll come back when your braces come off. Well, that wasn't until I was out of high school that my braces finally came off. So the chances of me becoming a child star, those were gone. But I thought, okay, here I am as an adult. I can start auditioning and things like that. And watching my siblings grow up and seeing them do all the things that I wanted to do and God never opening those doors for me, I became very jealous. I felt overlooked. Like, God, did you forget about me? Like, you created me, but yet you're not opening any doors for me to share these gifts with people. And it was in 2015, my husband and I and our children were on a road trip from Palm Springs to Nashville, Tennessee. And we were in Groome, Texas, and we got caught in a dirt storm. And this storm was so bad that the dirt engulfed our car and we couldn't see outside the windshield of the car. And this road was I-10. So it's only a 4-lane highway or 2 lanes on each side. And the dirt was so thick that we eventually came to a stop behind a semi truck that had its hazards on. And my husband was just like, I don't feel comfortable behind this semi. I need to move the car. And so he moved to the shoulder. And no sooner after we moved the car, I'm going to get emotional just talking about it again because it's such a trigger for me. A semi-truck going 75 miles an hour came from behind us and slammed into the truck that we were just sitting behind. The cab of his truck exploded and he passed away. And it was like a Hollywood movie. The heat from the fire, the sound of the metal, the screeching of the tires, everything. I mean, it was literally right next to us. And I was in the back seat of the car. My husband was driving with and my youngest son was in the passenger. And then my older son was in the second seat and my daughter was in the back seat. And I felt God telling me to get her up next to me. So we did, and we buckled her in. And no sooner after I buckled in her seatbelt, a second semi-truck came from behind, did not stop, slammed into the back of our car, pushed us down into a ravine. And now trucks, cars, everything was on fire. The second semi-truck driver jumped on the hood of our car and told us to get out because the cars were on fire. We were able to get out to the side of the road. And there was so much commotion going on. I had no idea where I was. I was in Groome and all this dirt and smoke now is filling the air. I had no idea, but I called 911. But during all of this commotion, come to find out that there were 7 semi-trucks that hit each other in our car. And we walked away without a scratch, all 5 of us. And then unfortunately that one fatality. But during all of this commotion, I kept seeing Jeremiah 29:11. And I just kept seeing it. And I couldn't put my finger on it. Like, why? And honestly, if someone were to ask me in that moment what Jeremiah 29:11 was, what verse that was, I couldn't tell you. But I knew God was trying to tell me something, but I didn't know. And so we eventually got to the motel in Groome, and I knew that there was a Bible in the nightstand of that motel room. And I burst through the doors and I opened up the Bible, and right there, God gave me my life first. Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future." And I just broke down in tears because God literally just saved me and my husband and our 3 children from a horrific car accident. And I'm reading that God has plans for me and a purpose. And then I heard God speak to me, to my spirit. And he said, "Bridget, all those years when you were little that you thought that I forgot about you. I've never forgotten about you, and I've never overlooked you. I have plans for you, but you need to trust me that it's in my timing that I will show you when and where those are. And if God were in that room at that moment and said, hey, in 2024, in 2023, you're going to be writing a book and speaking and going out and telling your story, I would have thought it was crazy. But now, looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, God told me in 2015 that he does have plans for me. He does have a purpose, and that he has never overlooked me. Back when I was young, and it's God's plan for everybody, our own individual, and it's in God's timing when he's going to show us what that is, if it's in his will to do that.
Yeah, I think, Thin, thank you for sharing that. Gosh, that's, I obviously didn't know the details of that horrific experience.
Pretty horrible.
You would never forget any of the details of it, the smells, the sounds associated with, semi-trucks smashing into each other, and goodness gracious, it'd be terrifying. But, it makes me think of, there's a scene, I'm sure you're familiar with the series The Chosen, which has just taken the whole world by storm, and it's such an amazing story. Brought to camera, Jesus comes to life. I think for a lot of people in this, as he should be, it brings the Bible to life. And there's a great moment where he talks with little James. It's Jesus and little James, and little James has a physical ailment, and Jesus has been working all these miracles and healing people in front of all of his closest disciples, his apostles. And they're witness to all the wonderful things that Jesus is doing. And James is like, I've seen you do all these amazing miracles, work these miracles, and yet here I am still with my ailment. And it's a real profound moment because Jesus is looking at him and saying, like, I could just heal you, but isn't it even more powerful for you to be following me with this burden that you have and still pouring into others and still professing your faith in me and my works and all of these things that, and, one day you will be healed in heaven, but some of us are just so strong that we can carry these burdens. We can carry these things with us, I think, in our lives because it helps other people. And we don't see it the way he sees it. He sees the whole story. We only see these few years that we have here on earth, but he sees the grand scheme, the grand plan. And I think it's just certain people. So I think it's because of your strength, you're able to bear these burdens and to be able to then share your story and your journey with other people to empower them is really where I see it.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, some people just, their whole life is like, why me, God? Why did you pick me? And it's just, I love that because it's like, because God chose you. God chose you for a reason. God chose you to have those ailments, or God chose you to be, the ones who are in the accident to survive or whatever. And we may not understand it fully and clearly now, but yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I've mentioned like the ripple effect of life, and if people are on the side of a pond or a lake and in calm water throwing pebbles or rocks, and then you have all these overlapping ripples that kind of intermingle and come into contact with each other, and we don't realize the massive ripple effect that we create in other people's lives, in their world, and how that maybe sets somebody else off on to do great things if it wasn't for our story, the things that we had to go through to then share with someone else and touch them and move them in a direction. There's that. I knew it. I knew we were going to get it. I knew we were going to get your company. This is fun. We like animals. We're pet friendly here on Strong by Design. So how many dogs do you have?
Just the one. She's a mini golden doodle. Oh. And she's the apple of our eye. And so I don't know. She probably saw a bird or something fly by and she got all excited.
Of course. Good. Right. Well, the kids now, are your children grown? How old are your children?
Let's see. My oldest is 23. My middle is 20. And our daughter just turned 18.
Okay, so some are probably already out of the house.
Not yet.
Or close to it, not yet.
We're trying to push it, but okay.
We love you, but get going.
Go.
So the dog has become the baby.
Oh my goodness.
The dog's the baby of the family.
The dog. Our oldest son has he's got bad allergies with cats and dogs, so we never grew up.
Yeah.
One little childhood little fun fact, we didn't grow up with dogs and cats because Kirk was highly allergic to those type of animals. So our family, our pets were snakes. Kirk had a massive, massive, whatever you call it.
Like a python or something?
Not just one, maybe like two or three. Yeah.
And
working on it on the movie, like Father Like Son with Dudley Moore, he actually named one of his pythons Dudley. Yeah. And it was
Did he really? You know what's that's hilarious because I growing up, I was a huge Dudley Moore fan. I loved the Arthur movies. I just really enjoyed his character. And I actually asked him when we interviewed him, I said, what was Dudley Moore like? What was he like? You know, did you enjoy your time on set with him? And he probably hadn't been asked that question in quite a while, it brought a smile to his face. And I thought that was pretty, it's funny that you happened to mention that same movie. Because I love that movie with the two of them together. It was very funny.
That was fun. That was
wow. That's hilarious. So you have this experience, which has now led to you doing speaking and the writing really of this book. So tell us a little bit more about what else that you're sharing and overlooked as the sister of these very prevalent famous folks that have been around for a few decades now.
Yeah.
I mean, and what else are you looking to accomplish with this story, that everybody kind of has value? Is that kind of really, even if they're not seeing it in themselves?
Yeah. We're overlooked, came from is just, again, I really didn't have, intentions to start a speaking career or anything like that. But again, it was just something that God really put on my heart. And I was, it was kind of like twofold, like the book and the speaking engagements kind of like fell into place together. And I was just connected with the right people. And I just started calling churches and pastors that I knew. And I just said, hey, I want to start this speaking journey. Can I come and speak? And this and that. And they said yes. And then it was just, social media just kind of picked up on it and me sharing it. And then I had other churches call me. But it's funny because people will look at the book Overlooked and they see, they see the pictures of my brother and sisters on the cover. And they're like, oh, well, first of all, I didn't know that Kirk and Candace had two other siblings. So that's like one thing. They're like, who are these mystery people that are, living out of the woods? And then when people, see Overlooked, they're like, oh, this is going to be a Cameron tell-all book. Like, she is going to give the dirt on the Cameron family, and it's really not any of that. I share lots of amazing childhood memories, childhood pictures of just our life as kids growing up together and cousins and aunts and uncles and all of that, and just kind of how we were kind of thrown really into Hollywood and how Candace and Kirk's careers just took off and everything that they were doing and the good things and the, you know, the scary things that we had to deal with. But then it just kind of goes into my story of not being chosen that day. And the things that I actually, you know, had forgotten. Here I was thinking that God had overlooked me and God had forgotten about me, but in reality, he did bless me with many amazing things. Isn't it funny when, you know, when you think that like, things aren't going your way and things aren't being put in your path, you think, you know, why isn't this happening for me? Like, I never get those big jobs or I never get those auditions, da, da, da. But then when you actually really stop and look back on your life and remember those amazing opportunities that someone or God for me gave me, I was a stand-in for over 25 years in Hollywood. I stood in for some of the biggest Hollywood child stars on TV. I worked on two hit television shows, movies, commercials, all of that. You know, I've been a dancer since I was a little girl, and I finally got to compete in my first, you know, adult ballroom dance competition. And, you know, so it's interesting how we kind of forget all the blessings that God did give us.
Yes.
So it kind of takes you through that as well. And I have a couple, the accident story. I also have a, earlier you had mentioned that I have four children, which I do. But I talk about three because I did have a miscarriage, and I talk about the miscarriage in my story as well. And so, you know, I think Overlooked really just kind of talks about a lot of different things we all go through. And I think everybody can relate to being feeling overlooked at some point in their life. Men, women, whether it be in their jobs, in their marriages, in their life, their friends, whatever, looking and comparing. That's like the hardest thing is comparison. We always compare ourselves to other people. And it's like,
yes,
I mean, it'd be easy for me to say, don't compare yourself. I compare myself still, you know, and it's hard. But I think what we have to remember is that God writes a better story than we ever can. And your story is different than my story. And my story is different than her story, and so on and so on. So, and you were saying earlier, if we all had the same story of coming to Jesus, like, it'd be so boring. Like, it would just not be fun. But God writes a better story than we can. And so I always just say, give God the pen. Let him write your story and see what amazing things he is going to do for you and doors that he's going to open for you, because it could be something that you never thought. I never thought I'd be going around speaking or even writing a book for that matter. I mean, I thought, writing a book, what am I going to talk about? Like my childhood growing up in Hollywood, like, okay, like, whatever. But, you know, here we are, and it's touching lives. It's touching hearts. And I'm thankful that God gave me the life and the story and, you know, the journey that he's given me. And that I'm on right now.
Yeah. Well, it's so much to unpack there with what you've said. Obviously, I mean, we've all had those moments of sibling rivalry or being in competition with our siblings, being frustrated with their successes and seeing all of our shortcomings and only seeing their accolades and seeing their rewards and all of their great moments, and really kind of questioning, well, why am I not getting some of those? And you know what? Those things do come at different times for everybody. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's only natural. It's just part of life. And that comparison thing that we all have are capable of kind of being stuck in. You know, comparing your neighbor's home, your neighbor's vehicle, right? Your coworkers, this, your siblings, that, your friends, this, your friends, that. But ultimately, I've had those moments as well. When I'm in my home with my family, I've had also those moments where I'm like, yeah, but no one has my family.
Yeah. Man. Oh.
You know, I'm so proud of my family, how grateful I am. I'm going to get emotional. How grateful I am for my wife and my daughter and my son and our home and our love for each other and what really matters. Yeah. It doesn't matter what car is sitting in the driveway or how many square feet my house is or how green my grass is. How strong is my love for the people that matter the most in my life? And do they feel that from me? Do I, you know, am I doing my best to be a kingdom husband and to be a, you know, a great father that my kids aspire to be like? And so, I mean, those are the things that matter most. Would you credit your walk, your faith journey as a family? Would you credit that with your family kind of being able to stay together and just where you're all at professionally and personally? It sounds like you're all in a good place right now. Would you kind of credit that kind of coming to Jesus as your family's like staying a family?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it could have so easily gone another way that, you know, some people have seen other child stars go. I mean, it certainly could have gone that way. But looking back on it now, I think that I would say God chose us. Whatever reason, he knew he chose us for a purpose now, for the ministry and everything that Kirk's doing, Candace is doing, I'm doing, Melissa's doing, all of that. And he knew that. But I think getting us into Hollywood was laying the foundation of getting our family to become this known family. And he had his hedge of protection. He had his hand over us clearly. Because he knew the darkness of what Hollywood could be. And yes, we totally could have gone that direction. I mean, Kirk was presented to it. Candace was, you know, presented to it. And I've been to some of those Hollywood parties. It was just not, it just wasn't our thing, you know? And even though, you know, my mom and dad weren't walking with the Lord at the time, and none of us were, but and my mom and dad were never like, you cannot go to that party. It was just like, hey, you know, make the right choices, make good decisions. And really, it just wasn't us. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it. Yes, I could say it's because my family kept us together or my parents did. But, you know, when we walked outside those doors, we could really, you know, have gone a different direction.
Yeah.
And I credit God for just kind of being there without us really even seeing or knowing who he was.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you see all of the negative, the fallout, the family breakup, the addiction, the drug use, the, you know, just the bad decisions that just seem to stack up on top of each other once you achieve a certain level of celebrity. But you know, people can fall prey to their own whims and ego. And while I think it's always good, and how many people have we heard from who have hit like the top of the mountain only to find that there they are still depressed?
Yeah.
Because again, I say it's a God-sized hole that only, you know, God can fill.
Absolutely.
Nothing material, nothing that we can buy with our big bank accounts can really satisfy us the way that we can be satisfied in spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think it's a great life lesson, because I've heard it over and over and over again from people that are very well known. Later in life, they have these great interviews. I feel like people who have actually succumbed to later in life, come to depression or to suicide. Even some of these folks, but some of their messaging prior to that was that it's none of this stuff matters.
Yeah,
it really doesn't. in the big scheme of things, it's nice, and it's nice to buy nice things and to work hard and to make a good living and hopefully be charitable and give back, and that's great. But what's the ultimate meaning? What's the ultimate purpose?
Right. And if you really, when you have that relationship with the Lord, that personal relationship, you realize that, you know, if you are this big famous or not even famous, wealthy person, and you can buy or get whatever you want at, you know,
that's right,
the snap of your fingers, you can get a new car, whatever you want. You have to realize too that you don't get to bring any of that stuff with you. When you meet the Lord face to face, he's not going to say, hey, come bring your money and your jewels and your clothes and your car. No, none of that comes with you. So really, you know, it's, when you really stop and think about it, it's like, what is missing in your heart that you need to fulfill that hole in your heart with other things, money and jewelry, clothes, whatever. So it's really just a personal, and unfortunately, some people have to hit rock bottom before they go, okay, I'm done. I just cannot do this anymore.
That's right.
I pray that those people will come and realize that before it's too late.
And have those conversations with your children. Yeah. I was having such a fun conversation the other night, a couple of weeks ago, with my son. I think mom and his sister had gone to bed, and we're just sitting there talking, and he had these great God, universe, meaning kind of questions. And I don't run from those. I ask him the question back, or I try to I don't act like I have all the answers either.
Yeah.
And we just explore a little bit, and it's good to have those conversations with your kids, encourage those things. Go to the Bible for some of those answers. And it's really fun, rather than just kind of getting caught up in all of the day-to-day superficial stuff. Go to some deeper, meaningful questions with your kids, because they'll shock you with some of the things that they think about.
And how great is it, too, even if you don't know, like your child asks you something and you literally don't know the answer, just say, buddy or sweetie, I don't know. You know what? Let's go look at it together. Let's go find it together, because that's a great question and I want to learn right alongside. So that's great when you can just tell your kids, hey, I don't know that, but let's go check it out. Let's go learn it together.
That's right. And there's so many other great resources out there in the world today as well. So many just terrific platforms with people who are speaking good things into the world. You know, the media and the press and TV seems to really lean towards the negative and how awful things are. And I think if you get too caught up in it, you'll start believing that. I don't believe that. I think there's actually kind of a massive revival happening across the world right now, because people are seeing that without God, things really do start to crumble. And when you're not grounded in something that really matters, that, you know, then we can really be rotten with each other. But it's, you know, more conversation like this, more people doing things like what you're doing. Please share where people can go and find your book and get to maybe see. Do you have a listing maybe of events or speaking engagements and where people can see you?
You can certainly find me on bridgetcameron.com. There is a list of speaking engagements and other podcasts that I'm going to be doing. So check that out. If you're a church or a community that would love to have me come and speak at one of your conferences or events, there's also an events page there that you can just inquire about some information. But you can find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, just Bridget Cameron. You'll come across me and come follow me and all my fun little things that, you know, are happening. But I'm going to tell your listeners right now, like, I'm a very raw and real person. So you might see me on social media with like no makeup. You might still see me in pajamas, you know, like walking the dog, things like that. Because
I was going to say the dog's got to be in there.
She is in there. She is in there. Yeah. But yeah, so I try to keep it as real as possible. So it's fun.
Oh, that's great. Well, we really appreciate your time, Bridget. It was really fun getting to know you better. It's always great to have a conversation that is, you know, meaningful and touching, and I think very helpful to people who have gone through difficulties, who have maybe felt overshadowed in life, don't know what their purpose is or see value in themselves. It's really great to hear from someone like you who's willing to talk about it, and it's very healing, I think, for people. And so thank you for what you're doing and spreading your message, and it's really terrific. And so, listeners, please go check out Bridget's book, Overlooked. Go to bridgetcameron.com to learn more about where she's speaking, and it's been a real pleasure to have you.
Chris, thank you for having me today. It's been fun.
Yeah, has been a lot of fun. We even had the dog participate for a moment. No real cameo. Yep. We just got a little audio out of it. That was good. Listeners, thank you so much for coming to listen to the Strong by Design podcast. If this is, a new episode for you, go back and binge listen hundreds and hundreds of past episodes, entering our seventh season here in 2024. And it's been just such a fun ride here at Strong by Design. So God bless you. Thank you for coming back. And we'll talk with you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.